المبعوث رحمة العالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. نسر إخوانكم من مكتبة الموحدين بجزر البحر الكريم والولايات المتحدة. نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ صلاح كنتوش حفظه الله تعالى الذي سيواصل معنا درس الأسبوعي في شرح رسالة الجامع لعبادة الله وحده الشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله. It's our pleasure to have with us our noble Shaykh Sarah Kantush. May Allah bless and preserve him. We'll be continuing his weekly explanation of the treaties, the comprehensive and concise definition of worshipping Allah. The Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. Hadi yatafadda Shaykhna mashkura majura.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabihi wa abdihi alladhi istafa. وعلى آله وأصحابه جميعا ومن اقتفى. أما بعد، فنتابع إن شاء الله القراءة لهذه الرسالة المباركة الجامع لعبادة الله تبارك وتعالى وحده. ونحن قد قرأنا أو وقفنا على بعض ما يتعلق بهذه العبادات، وكنا مؤخرا تكلمنا عن الخوف والمحبة والخشية والرغبة والرهبة، وهناك كانت فائدة لكن حقيقة كانت عالقة في الذهن، والآن زدت في تثبيتها، وهي قول بعض السلف رحمهم الله: من عبد الله بالخوف فهو حروري، أن عبد الله بالخوف فهو حروري. وهذه حروري نسبة إلى الخوارج، إلى منطقة يقال لها حروراء في العراق، كانت منطقة يقطنها الخوارج. من عبد الله بالخوف فقط فهو حروري، يعني من الخوارج أو مال إلى طريقة الخوارج. ومن عبد الله بالرجاء فقط فهو مرجئ، فهو مرجئ. والإرجاء هي من ضمن العقائد الفاسدة التي دخلت على المسلمين، وأمرهم يطول، يعني ذكر المآخذ التي على هؤلاء المرجئة يطول، لكن هكذا نأخذ الأثر. ومن عبد الله بالحب فقط فهو زنديق، فهو زنديق. وهذا الأثر مروي عن مكحول الدمشقي رضي الله عنه ورحمه الله، كما عزاه إليه تاج الدين السبكي كما في فتاواه. وأما شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية فذكر هذا الأثر عن بعض السلف ولم يسمهم. نعم، فضل.
السلام عليكم وبركاته. Our Shaykh began by praising Allah and invoking the salam upon his chosen messenger and upon his family and companions and all those who follow in their guidance. He then said that we are continuing our study of the treaties Al-Jami' li'ibadati Allahi wahda, or the concise and comprehensive definition of worshipping Allah alone. And previously in the classes we mentioned examples of types of ibadah, types of worshipping Allah, that may only be directed to him. For amongst these types of worship that we previously looked at in detail are al-khawf, or fear, al-mahabba, or love, al-khashya, or also awe, or fear, al-raghba, and rahba. And there was something that we had mentioned, and the Sheikh says it was in my mind, and I couldn't quite recall what it was, but it was a narration of some of the salaf who said that whoever worships Allah with fear only, then he is a haruri. And essentially what it means to be a haruri is to be one of the khawarij. And there was a region in Iraq called Harura, and it was known for being a hotspot for the khawarij. And so a person called a haruri essentially was from the khawarij. So it said that whoever worships Allah only with fear, then he is a haruri or a khawarij, or he has some inclination towards the methodology of the khawarij. And whoever worships Allah with hope only, then he is from the Murji'ah. And talking about the methodology of the Murji'ah is something that takes a lot of time. But to sum up, suffice with saying that this is one of the deviant ideologies that crept into the Muslim Ummah. And it would take a long time to explain. So we have two mentions. Whoever worships Allah with fear only, he's a Haruri. Whoever worships Allah with hope only, he's a Murji. And whoever, thirdly, whoever worships Allah with love only, then he is a Zindiq, or he's a deviant heretic. This statement, or this athar, was narrated, was attributed to Makhul al-Dimashqi, rahimahullah, as was reported by Tajuddin al-Sukki. Also, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, mentioned it and said that this was a statement of some of the Saraf, but he didn't mention their names. Tafadhal Shaykh.
Naam, barakallahu feekum. Wa dhakara rahimahullah min dhimn hadhihi al-ibadat allati yanbaghi 'ala al-'abd an yahtam biha qawluhu wal-inabah. Al-inabah مأخوذة يعني أو هي ضمن العبادات التي ينبغي على العبد أن يهتم بها قريبة من التوبة. الإنابة هي قريبة من معنى التوبة، لكن الفرق بين التوبة والإنابة أن الإنابة هي الرجوع من التقصير في العبادة إلى كمال العبادة أو تمام العبادة، والتوبة هي الرجوع من الذنب. فالإنابة في حقيقتها من رجوع من التقصير في جانب العبادة إلى إتمامها وإلى كمالها. نعم. وهكذا ذكر التأله هنا، قال والتأله. والتأله معناه التعبد أو تعبد القلب، تعبد القلب بالإجلال والمحبة والتعظيم والإخلاص لله سبحانه وتعالى. فيقال تعبد القلب بإجلال الله جل وعلا ومحبته وتعظيمه والإخلاص له سبحانه. ثم بعد هذا كله قال رحمه الله، ثم ذكر التأله، ثم ذكر الركوع والسجود. والركوع والسجود معروف أن المقصود بهما هو انحناء البدن لله جل وعلا خضوعا، انحناء البدن لله جل وعلا خضوعا. ونحن نقيد هذا الركوع والسجود بقصد التعبد. فإذا يعني كان هذا بقصد التعبد فإنه لا يجوز أن يصرف هذا السجود وهذا الركوع في شريعتنا لأحد. فإذا بخلاف ما كان في الشرائع التي كانت من قبل، فإنهم كانوا ربما فعلوا ذلك بقصد الاحترام والتحية كما كان في الأمم الماضية. ومن هذا الباب سجود إخوة يوسف عليه الصلاة والسلام له، وسجود كذلك الملائكة لآدم. فسجود الملائكة لآدم وسجود إخوة يوسف ليوسف لم يكن بقصد التعبد، لأنه قد يرد علينا إشكال فيقال كيف تقول أن السجود والركوع إذا صرف لغير الله يعتبر صاحبه مشركا؟ ثم إننا نرى أن الله سبحانه وتعالى أخبر أن الملائكة سجدت لآدم، وأن إخوة يوسف وأباه وأمه سجدوا ليوسف. ومن هذا الباب أيضا ما فعله معاذ رضي الله عنه الذي سجد للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليه ذلك كما في مسند الإمام أحمد رحمه الله عن أنس، وفيه أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يصلح لبشر أن يسجد لبشر، ولو كنت آمرا أحدا أن يسجد لأحد لأمرت المرأة أن تسجد لزوجها من عظم حقه عليها. والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لم يأمر معاذا أن يعيد الإسلام وأن يعني يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أو يخبره بأن هذا الفعل يعتبر شركا بالله جل وعلا، إنما قال له هذا يعتبر في شريعتنا محرم. إذن هو في حكم المنسوخ، يعني سجود التحية والاحترام نسخ ونسخت إباحته إلى التحريم. أما إذا كان السجود والركوع بقصد العبادة فهذا هو الذي يكون شركا. نعم.
The author, rahimahullah, mentioned from amongst the acts of worship that the Muslim should pay attention to, or that only should be directed towards Allah, are inaba. This is one of the examples that he gave of acts of worship that should only be directed to Allah. And inaba may be translated as turning to flee towards in repentance and obedience. And the meaning of inaba, linguistically, is kind of like tawbah. In fact, there are a lot of similarities between inaba and toba. The difference between the two, however, is a slight difference. And it is that inaba, and both inaba and toba, have a meaning of returning. Both of them have a linguistic meaning of returning. Inaba indicates returning from shortcomings to perfection. So when a person had shortcomings in their acts of worship, and then they made up for those shortcomings and perfected them, this is inaba. Whereas toba is turning back to Allah after having committed a sin. So again, inaba would be returning to Allah for not completely doing acts of worship, whereas toba would be returning to Allah for having violated some of his prohibitions. Inaba is, or after inaba in the text, we also have a mention of ta'allu, which is having one's heart attached to Allah, declaring his majesty and recognizing his greatness. And in the text we also have a mention of ruku' and sujood, bowing and prostrating. And these are well-known acts of worship, and what is meant is bowing down physically out of obedience and out of submission. We must mention, however, that what is meant by the prohibition of making ruku' or sujood to other than Allah is doing this act, this physical act of bowing in front of another person, with the intention of worship. This is something that is not permissible. Simply doing it, simply the act of bowing in front of another person, is forbidden in our Sharia. It was not, however, in the previous Sharia, that is, in the laws, in the religious legislations of the prophets who came before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bowing or even prostrating in front of another person was not something that was forbidden, because they did it not with the intention of worship, but with the intention of greeting one another, or it was kind of like a salutation or a formality. It was not done out of worship. It was done as a greeting or a formality. And so we see that the brothers of Yusuf, alayhi salam, they bowed to him, and the angels bowed down to Adam. They did this as a greeting, not as an act of worship. Someone may ask the question, how is it that you consider a person who bows in front of another to be a mushrik, someone who's committing shirk, whereas we find in the Quran examples of people bowing down to prophets, the brothers of Yusuf bowing down before their brother Yusuf, and the angels bowing down before Adam. Likewise, we find in the Sunnah that Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, he made sujood in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, he rebuked him for doing this. He told Mu'adh that this was not appropriate, as is in Muslim Ibn Ahmad on the authority of Anas, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's not befitting for any human to bow before another human. And if I were to command anyone to bow before anyone else,
And certainly I would command the woman to bow before her husband because of the great right that he has over her. The Prophet, however, did not command Mu'adh to enter back into Islam. By doing this, Mu'adh, because he did not do it as an act of worship, he didn't leave Islam and he did not commit an act of shirk. So the Prophet didn't tell him to repeat his shahada and the likes. Point is that bowing and prostrating in front of another person in our sharia is something which is forbidden and it's something which has been abrogated. Previously it was permissible and then it became forbidden. That is simply doing it, right, without the intention of worship. If it is done with the intention of worship, it is not something that is simply forbidden, but it's an act of shirk.
بارك الله فيكم. وثم عطف بعد هذا كله على قوله رحمه الله والخشوع والتذلل. الخشوع هو نوع تعبد المقصود به بحضور القلب، يعني التعبد بشكل عام لكن بحضور القلب وإقامة الأحكام المطلوبة شرعا. ففي الصلاة مثلا ينبغي على الإنسان أن يقيم الأركان فيسجد سجودا سويا ويركع سجودا كذلك سويا، وهكذا إذا انتقل بين الأركان أركان الصلاة فإنه ينتقل بغير ما سرعة، هذا يقال له خشوع. هذا من المعاني الواقعة للخشوع. والتذلل وعفوا، وهكذا أيضا يكون الخشوع في الدعاء عموما وفي الصلاة على جهة الخصوص، وهكذا في حال قراءة القرآن الذي هو قراءة القرآن بتدبر وبتأدة وعدم السرعة، هذا يقال قرأ قراءة خاشعة. قرأ قراءة خاشعة إذا كانت القراءة بنوع تدبر وأن يقيم الحروف ولا يستعجل في القراءة، لا تكون قراءته هذا كهذ الشعر، فحينئذ يقال أن هذا خشع. وأما التذلل فهذا التذلل يعتبر العبادة التي هي محصل العبادة كلها قائم على التذلل لله سبحانه وتعالى. ثم قال رحمه الله والتعظيم الذي هو من خصائص الإلهية، يعني أن يعظم الله جل وعلا التعظيم الذي هو خاص به، ومعنى ذلك أنه قد يعظم غير الله لكن لا يكون هذا التعظيم كتعظيم الله سبحانه وتعالى الذي هو من خصائص الإله. فنحن نعظم نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعظم كذلك الكعبة ونعظم دم المسلم ونعظم العلاقات الأخوية بين المسلمين، لكن هذا التعظيم لا يحملنا أو لا يكون هذا التعظيم كتعظيم الله سبحانه وتعالى أبدا، ولا يضاهيه ولا يقاربه. ولذلك قيدها الشيخ هنا بقوله الذي هو من خصائص الإلهية. نعم تفضل.
After that, the author rahimahullah mentioned khushu' and tadallul, another two types of ibadah which may only be worshipped to or directed to Allah. Khushu' may be translated as reverent humility or submissiveness, and tadallul may be translated as humbleness and submission. And what is meant by khushu' is worshipping Allah along with the heart being present while performing what is required of a Muslim of acts of worship, doing so while the heart being present. So for example, when a person is performing the salat, they must perform ruku' and sujood, they must do so perfectly. And when they are moving from one of the arkan of salat to the next, they shouldn't be in a rush when moving from one part of the salat to the next. So when a person does this, they're concentrating, their heart is present, and they're doing what they've been commanded to do, then they are in a state of khushu'. Khushu' in general is something that is to be accompanied, or that dua is to be accompanied with. A person should be in a state of khushu' when calling upon Allah and making dua. The same goes for the reciting, for the recitation of the Quran. When a person is reciting the Quran, they should be in a state of khushu' and not be racing when repeating the ayat. When it's said that a person has recited with khushu', then he is reciting in a slow manner, contemplating the ayat that he recites, correctly pronouncing all of the letters. And he is to be doing so at a slow pace and not racing like the poet who is racing in repeating his poetry. That's for khushu'. As for tadallul, which is also mentioned in the text, and this is the foundation of ibadah. This is tadallul, or humbleness and submission, is the foundation of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. We also find a mention in the text of ta'zeem, or glorification. And this is from the distinct qualities of the one deserving to be worshipped, namely Allah Azza wa Jalla. And ta'zeem can be directed to other than Allah. However, it's not like the ta'zeem that is directed to Allah, not even close. So we do give ta'zeem, we do give great importance to the Prophet ﷺ, and to the Kaaba, and to the blood of the Muslim, and to the relationship between brothers in Islam. However, this ta'zeem is not like the ta'zeem that is given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it's nowhere close. Tafadhal Sheikh.
Naam.
Hey, tafadhal Sheikh.
Allah khalak. Anqata' al-khat 'indi, kayf?
Eh, Allah musta'an.
La bas, la bas. Atmamt alladhi.
Eh, naam, naam.
Tayyib, khair inshaAllah. Tayyib, thumma qala rahimahullah, qala ودليل الدعاء قوله تعالى وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا وقوله تعالى له دعوة الحق والذين يدعون من دونه لا يستجيبون لهم بشيء إلا كباسط كفيه إلى الماء ليبلغ فاه وما هو ببالغه وما دعاء الكافرين إلا في ضلال. و الشيخ رحمه الله بدأ بذكر الأدلة على ما ذكر، ويلاحظ أن الشيخ رحمه الله اكتفى بذكر الآيات دون الأحاديث، ليس إلا من باب الاكتفاء ببعض النصوص في الدلالة بالبعض على الكل، اكتفى ببعض النصوص في الدلالة بالبعض على الكل، وليس زهدا في الحديث. ومن تصفح طريقته رحمه الله في تصانيفه لوجدت أنه يقرن بين الحديث وبين القرآن كثيرا، لا سيما في كتابه التوحيد المعروف. نعم، تفضل.
أحسن إليك. After that, the author رحمه الله went on to say that the proofs of a dua, supplication, are the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدَعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And the masajid are for Allah alone, so do not invoke or supplicate anyone or anything with Allah. And the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُونَ لَهُم بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا كَبَاسِطِ كَفَّيْهِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ لِيَبْلُغَ فَاهُ وَمَا هُوَ بِبَالِغِهِ وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. For him alone is the word of truth, that is, none has the right to be worshipped but him. And those whom they, that is the polytheists and disbelievers, invoke, answer them no more than one who stretches forth his hands at the edge of a deep well for water to reach his mouth, but it reaches him not, and the invocation of the disbelievers is nothing but in air, that is of no use. So in this part of the text, the author, rahimahullah, he started to mention, after giving all of the examples, or after giving some examples of the types of worship which may only be directed to Allah Azza wa Jal, he started giving the evidence from the Quran that these are acts of worship that only are suitable for Allah Azza wa Jal. And he sufficed himself with mentioning ayat from the Quran without mentioning the hadith that are also valid proofs that these are acts of worship only befitting for Allah. And what he was doing, rahimahullah, that is the author, he was bringing some of the proofs as an indication that suffice, even though there are much more proof, much more evidence for this in the nusus, that is in the text of the Sharia. And this doesn't mean that the author, rahimahullah, had any negligence toward the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or that he thought that it's insufficient evidence to mention a hadith to illustrate the prohibition of directing these acts of worship to other than Allah. And whoever takes a look and flips through the pages of his writings, rahimahullah, will find that many times the author, rahimahullah, both mentions the Quran along with the hadith. Tafadhal Shaykhna.
Naam. ثم ذكر رحمه الله فقال ودليل الاستعانة قوله تعالى إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين ودليل الاستغاثة قوله تعالى إذ تستغيثون ربكم فاستجاب لكم وما زال رحمه الله يذكر الحجج لأن هذا أي إنسان يريد أن يثبت شيئا من الشريعة لابد أن يأتي بالحجج والبراهين وهذه الأدلة هي أدلته وبراهينه على ما ذكر رحمه الله لأن بعض المبتدعة يريدون أن ينحرفوا بعقول المسلمين بحيث أنهم يعبدون غير الله سبحانه وتعالى من المقبورين والأضرحة ومن يسمون بالأولياء وما إلى ذلك فيعمون عنهم مثل هذه الأدلة وينزلون هذه الأدلة على ما يتعلق بعبادة الأصنام وما إلى ذلك ولا يجعلونها تتعلق أيضا بذكر الأمور التي تخص القبور وما إلى ذلك فالإنسان إذا لم يأتي بالحجج والبراهين كان أمره ضعيفا لكن حينما يأتي ويستدل لا تستعن إلا بالله ولا تستغيث إلا بالله فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى تكون حجتك قوية بهذا الاعتبار وثم قال رحمه الله ودليل الذبح قوله تعالى قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين وهكذا دليل النذر قوله تعالى يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا وذكر هذا كله كما ذكرنا أن المقصود من ذلك أن يبرهن على صحة ما ذكره من المسائل السابقة جميعا نعم تفضل
أحسن الله To this, the author, Allah, went on to mention the evidence for isti'ana, that is, the textual proof that isti'ana is an act of worship that should only be directed to Allah. And that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِيَّاكَ نَعْمُرُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ You alone do we worship, and you alone do we ask for help. And the evidence mentioned for al-istighatha, that is, seeking relief, deliverance, is a statement of Allah, the Most High, تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ Remember when you sought help from your Lord and He answered you. We see here that the author, rahimahullah, was bringing forth the evidence for what he said. When he made some statements at the beginning of the text, now he's backing up those statements with textual evidence. And anybody who wants to make any claim about the religion must bring forth his evidence. He must bring forth his proof. The people of innovation, They want to deviate the minds and hearts of the Muslims, and they want to mislead them into worshipping other than Allah. They want to mislead them into worshipping the graves and the shrines and the so-called saints. And they want to pull the wool over the eyes of the people, blinding them to the realities of these texts. So when these texts are brought forth, they say that these are only talking about idols. They say that these texts don't have anything to do with graves, shrines, and the awliya, or so-called saints. The point is that if a person brings no proof, he has no evidence. His claim bears no weight. Whereas when a person backs up with what he says, with evidence, then his speech is worth something. The author, rahimahullah, is mentioning the evidence for his statements. He went on to mention the evidence for dhabh, the fact that sacrificing is an act of worship to be directed to only Allah. As Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَرَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say indeed my prayer, my rites of sacrifice, my living and my dying are for Allah, Lord of all the worlds. He then mentioned the proof for another, or making vows and covenants. A statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, يُفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا. That they, the believers, are those who fulfill their vows, and they fear a day whose evil will be widespread. All of this, what is meant, is to bring forth the evidence for everything that he mentioned at the beginning of the text, therefore to show the how clear-cut it was that he mentioned of these acts of worship being for Allah and Allah alone. Tafadhal Shaykhna.
نعم بارك الله فيكم. ثم قال رحمه الله قال ودليل الخوف قوله تعالى إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافون إن كنتم مؤمنين. وهذا أيضا كذلك من الحجج التي أوردها رحمه الله أن الخوف لا يصرف إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى، لكن من باب الإفادة أن الخوف الذي هو يحصل في الإنسان، هناك خوف فطري أو كما يقولون أو يسمونه الطبيعي الذي يحصل لدى الإنسان، كالخوف من الثعابين أو الخوف من يعني الأضرار، الخوف من العقارب ونحو ذلك. لكن قد يقول قائل كيف يستطاع أن يميز بين الخوف الذي هو خوف العبادة والخوف الذي هو خوف الطبيعي؟ الخوف الذي هو الطبيعي الذي يحصل في الإنسان عادة إذا ما حصل له تخويف في شيء من الأمور، لا سيما إذا جاء عن على بغتة وغفلة. الشرك يحصل في الخوف إذا كان هذا الخوف حاملا له على أن يعتقد في المخوف أنه يستطيع أن يفعل به شيئا من خصائص الله. فإذا خاف الإنسان من الجن، إذا خاف الإنسان من الجن بحيث أنهم يضرونه فيضرونه في ولده، فيقوم هو بعد ذلك بالتقرب إليهم كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وأنه كان رجال من الإنس يعوذون برجال من الجن فزادوهم رهقا، أي زادوهم خوفا فوق خوفهم. فإذا كان الإنسان يخاف من شيء يحمله هذا الخوف على أن يعتقد في المخوف أنه أو أن عنده شيء من خصائص الإله، فهذا الخوف الذي يكون شركا. أما إذا خاف الإنسان من ضرر ما على بدنه أو على ماله أو على ولده، فهذا مجرد الخوف الذي يقال له الطبيعي الذي لا يكون مؤثرا في شيء من صرف العبادة لغير الله سبحانه وتعالى، لا يكون هذا يعني من الأمور التي تكون في الشرك. نعم.
أحسنتم إليكم. يا أصر رحمه الله went on to mention the evidence for خوف or fear. That is a statement of Allah عز وجل. إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافون إن كنتم مؤمنين. It is only Shaitan that suggests to you to fear his awliya, supporters and friends. It's the polytheist disbelievers in the oneness of Allah and His Messenger. So fear them not, but fear me if you are true believers. So this is part of the evidence that illustrates that fearing other than Allah is an act of shirk. We must mention, however, that there is more than one category of fear. There is fear that is an act of worship, then there is fear that is simply something natural, a natural emotion that people feel when it comes to seeing things that can harm them. People naturally fear when they see snakes or when they see scorpions and the like. But this fear that they feel towards those harmful animals is not an act of shirk. So the question may be posed, how do we differ between the two? How do we differ between the fear, which is an act of worship to Allah, and fear that is simply a natural emotion? And the answer is that the natural fear is something that happens normally if someone is caught off guard and they're startled. This is not an act of worship. This is simply a natural emotion. When it comes to a person fearing other than Allah, and they think that this person or this thing is going to harm them, was something that's one of the characteristics of Allah, something that only Allah is able to do, then they have opened the door for shirk. So when a person, for example, fears that the jinn are going to harm him, or they're going to harm his children, so they do something to protect themselves from that harm by coming closer and directing some acts of worship towards the jinn. Now they have opened the door for shirk. Surah says, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. And there were men from the humans that sought refuge in the men from the jinn, and they only increased them and more fear than they had to begin with. So that fear that they had of the jinn, by submitting to it, only produced even more fear. So when a person fears some harm that's going to happen to him physically, or some harm that might befall his wealth or his children, as long as this doesn't cause him to direct any act of worship towards the thing or the person that he fears, then it's not shirk. Allah Shaykh.
بارك الله فيكم. ثم قال رحمه الله ودليل الرجاء قوله تعالى فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. الرجاء من كذلك من العبادات التي لا يحل أن تصرف إلا بالله إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى. وقد سبق أن ذكرنا أن الرجاء فيه نوع ماذا طمع بقلب العبد أن يطمع في أن يحقق الله سبحانه وتعالى له ما يرجوه من الرحمة مثلا أو الولد أو شيء من هذا القبيل. نعم. وثم قال رحمه الله ودليل التوكل قوله تعالى وعلى الله فتوكلوا إن كنتم مؤمنين. والملاحظ أن هذه العبادات كلها تكمل بعضها بعضا، فالتوكل يكمل الخوف، فالإنسان إذا خاف من غير الله سبحانه وتعالى في الأمور التي هي دون الشرك عليه أيضا أن يتوكل على الله سبحانه وتعالى. خاف الإنسان مثلا من عدو أن ماذا يريد أن يستبيح دمه أو شيء من هذا القبيل، عليه أن يتوكل على الله سبحانه وتعالى. وسبق أن ذكرنا أن التوكل اعتماد القلب على الله سبحانه وتعالى في تحصيل المنافع ودفع المضار. ثم ذكر رحمه الله وقال ودليل الإنابة قوله تعالى وأنيبوا إلى ربكم وأسلموا له من قبل أن يأتيكم العذاب ثم لا تنصرون. نعم تفضل.
أحسن عليك. Yes, rahimahullah then mentioned the proof for al-raja, that is hope and longing. That is the statement of Allah, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Thus, whoever hopes to meet his Lord, then he is to do righteous deeds and not associate anything or anyone in the worship of his Lord. Al-raja, or hope, is one of those acts of worship that are not to be directed to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it was previously mentioned that what is meant by hope is the severe or the sincere longing that Allah would bring in, that Allah would bring about something that a person desires, such as a person hoping for Allah's mercy, a person hoping to have children, the likes. Next, the author, Allah mentioned at-tawakkul, trust and reliance. The proof for it is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Put your trust in Allah if you are believers indeed. And it's to be noticed that these acts of worship that are mentioned in the text, they complete one another. They go hand in hand. And the more that a person acts on one, then it pushes him to act upon another. So when a person, for example, has some fear, a natural fear, then he implements the tawakkul. When a person, for example, is confronted with an enemy who may want to shed his blood, he implements the tawakkul. He puts his trust in Allah. And as we previously mentioned, what is meant by tawakkul, the definition of tawakkul, is making one's heart rely upon Allah in attaining something of benefit or repelling something of harm. The author, rahimahullah, went on to mention the evidence for inaba, or turning to flee towards in repentance and obedience. And this is the statement of Allah the Most High, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْرِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. And turn in repentance and obedience with true faith to your Lord and submit to Him in Islam before the torment comes upon you, then you will not be helped. تفضل الشيخ.
بارك الله فيكم. ثم قال رحمه الله بعد ذلك ودليل المحبة قوله تعالى ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. الحب كما ذكرنا من عبد الله بالحب فقط فهو ماذا زنديق. ومن الأمور المنقولة عن المتصوفة الغلاة الذين يقولون نحن نعبد الله سبحانه وتعالى حبا فيه لا خوفا من عذابه ولا رجاء في ثوابه. يقولون هكذا نحن نحب الله لذاته لا نحبه خوفا من عقابه ولا رجاء في ثوابه. وهذه زندقة. ولذلك ما ينبغي عليه أن يعلم أو ما ينبغي أن يعلم أن هذه العبادات جميعا كما ذكرنا تكمل بعضها بعضا. نعم. ولعلنا إن شاء الله نكتفي بهذا وإن شاء الله تعالى في الأسبوع القابل نتمم ما بقي بإذن الله تعالى. أحسن
عليكم وبارك فيكم نفع ما بما قلتم شيخنا. The author, rahimahullah, went on to mention the evidence for al-mahabba, or love. And that is the statement of Allah the Most High, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَارًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. And of mankind are some who take for worship others besides Allah as rivals to Allah. They love them as they love Allah. But those who believe love Allah more than anything else. Again, we go back to the statement of a quotation of some of the Salaf that whoever worships Allah with love only, and he's a zindiq, he's a heretic. And some of the extreme, some of the Sufis have went to those who are more extreme in their tasawwuf have said that we worship Allah not because we fear his punishment or hope for his reward, but simply because we love him. And this claim in and of itself is heresy, zandaqa. To claim that a person worships Allah only out of love, that they don't want his reward and they don't fear his punishment, this is heresy. And so, again, it's to be noticed that these acts of worship that are mentioned in the text, they rely on one another and they complete one another. And with Allah's permission, inshallah, we will continue in our explanation of the text in next week's class. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam baraka nabiyyina Muhammad. جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخنا.
بارك الله فيكم، الله يبارك فيكم.
نلتقي على خير بإذن الله، الله يرضى عليكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.